tuned in to the Roto Experts.
This is the Roto Experts. Alongside the fantasy executive, Corey Parson, the king, Scott Angle, Wall Street, Matt Modica. I am Greg Sussman, feeling good this morning after an 8-1 victory from the Yankees. 2-1, holding serve at home. Game 4, a big one this afternoon, which is crazy and awesome because that means I don't have to go to bed at the freaking 1 a.m. But feeling good, got an opportunity to tie this series up, and should be fun this afternoon with Sonny Gray returning to the mound for the New York Yankees. But speaking of returns, let's welcome back the fantasy executive Corey Parson.
Good morning, Greg. How you doing, Mr. Sussman?
I'm doing well. How are you feeling? I know Friday you were a bit agitated. You needed a bit of a break.
Yes.
You had the day off yesterday.
Yeah.
How do you feel now?
I feel better. I feel better. I got away from football, so I'm just starting to look at some of my scores and stuff now. So I'm trying to figure out what the hell happened this weekend because some of the stuff don't look how I left it. You feel what I'm saying?
Sure.
So maybe you guys can help me figure out what the hell happened.
That's what we're here for.
I feel what you're saying, though.
Thank you. I don't know what happened this weekend.
Well, it's good to see you back.
Well, I'm glad to see you too, Scott.
Yeah. King, good morning, sir.
Good morning. And 5 o'clock game today. And I thought it was more than five. But regardless, though, that's the cool thing about October.
It is 5:08. You're absolutely right.
I
guess the pregame coverage starts at 4.
Yeah.
Even better, I'll be home from work.
Yeah, the cool thing is, the October baseball, kind of on a chilly afternoon, you know it's October, so that's pretty cool. Good week for me in fantasy football. Had about 5 games hanging in the balance last night and won all of them. Had a fantasy basketball draft last night as the season tips off tonight. Had the number 2 pick and took Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Interesting. You took Antetokounmpo there. That's interesting. I wouldn't have done that. But you love Giannis.
What? Russell Westbrook went with the first pick. Would you went with Karl Anthony Towns?
I would have, yeah.
Yeah, that's what Brandon Williams was telling me to do. I just
says that your basketball
I don't know, though. It's like the people split on it, but I just felt a little more comfortable going on a compo.
All right, there you go. Good morning, Matt.
Good morning. We're at the halfway point in the fantasy football season.
We are.
I did a little audit this morning on my teams.
How you feeling?
Very happy, actually. My non-NFFC teams, not so much, but my NFFC teams, very happy. I would be more than happy to end the season today.
That would not be. We're going to take a break. Let's dissect Monday Night Football for those of us that didn't watch it. So let's take a break. We'll come back. It's the Roto Experts here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Are you new to Daily Fantasy? Are you a veteran? Either way, you can better your chances of winning money, and lots of it, by going to DailyRoto.com. Multiple people have become millionaires thanks to the guys at Daily Roto. Why not take advice from the experts? You can become a millionaire too. Just go to DailyRoto.com to rock Daily Fantasy Sports.
Fantasy Sports Radio Network, Roto Experts. Last night, the Tennessee Titans, behind a very gimpy Marcus Mariota, defeated Indianapolis 36-22. And as I said, I was watching the Yankee game for most of this night. And as I was watching the game, I was like, listen, Tennessee is kind of, everything was kind of going up the way I kind of drew it up, right? Like, I thought the Colts, or a good position in this game. They're up 13-9 at halftime,
yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. And it's coming along, and then you're all of a sudden, you're up 19-16 at halftime? It's like after the third quarter. And I'm like, this is what I expected. It was exactly what I expected it to happen. I like the Colts in this game very strongly, especially with Marcus Mariota unable to move. And then all of a sudden,
I get into bed. I'm like, let me go check on the football game. The Colts are driving, trying to tie this game up, down a touchdown. Like, what the heck happened in the fourth quarter? So, Scott, if you could just answer me, what the heck happened in the fourth?
Well, Matt, it's really started out wildly in the second half, like a defensive touchdown on the first play of the possession. And things started opening up more for the Titans in the second half. Mariota did a nice job of taking what the defense gave him, but, you know, they weren't able to punch it in the first half. They were moving the ball. You know, if you're watching the game, you can see optimism that maybe things were going to open up in the second half, and that certainly did. And then there was that final 75 yards, I believe, touchdown run by Derrick Henry when they could have sat on the ball. And, you know, the Titans just played a much better second half where they were able to finish things off. Some creative sets, especially on the DeMarco Murray touchdown run. They thought they were going to reverse it. And, you know, Mike Mularkey kind of like threw the defense off and ran it right up the gut. It was a solid game by Mariota and the Titans in the second half.
You know, Matt, from what I saw last night, Marcus Mariota just did not look remotely healthy from that hamstring injury. It was clear he couldn't leave the pocket. Forget scrambling. He wasn't even rolling out right or left. It was just, you know, take a three-step drop, see what you got, and get rid of the ball.
Yeah, no, he wasn't at optimal health last night. But they got the job done. Like Scott said, the second half was, you know, it started off as a defensive touchdown. They righted the ship. The surprising aspect of last night's game was T.Y. Hilton.
I thought T.Y. Hilton was primed for this monster game, and it just didn't happen. Yes, Corey?
I have a question.
Please.
Like I said, I've gotten away from football. Did T.Y. Hilton get hurt last night?
No, he did not. Jacoby Brissett just wasn't throwing downfield. It's like you thought Hilton caught a 1 yard pass for 13 yards in the first quarter, Corey, and you figured, like, okay, here we go.
Starts to roll.
And every time, just like, you know, he's throwing to like Dante Moncrief on these short slants, and just, you know, Brissett looked very much like a game manager last night, where the week before he was gunning it.
Oh, okay, that's what happened.
You know, it's crazy because, as I said, I was watching the game during commercials at the Yankee game. And it was third down. Brissett makes this awesome pass down the left side. T.Y. Hilton makes a great catch. And as Scott just said, like, here we go. All right, we're going to build. Hilton probably catch a touchdown.
Come on now. What the hell is going on? What is Jacoby Brissett doing? Throw the football to the best player on the field.
Oh, against the worst secondary in the NFL. I don't get it.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
You know, it's kind of like Jake Steele said in his waiver column before. He goes, why about Orleans Dark were rushing for 117 yards? Like, because that's football. Like, we predict everything, and sometimes it just doesn't go that way. And it's so interesting, because you go into Monday night and you feel good about something, or you feel bad about something, it doesn't go that way. A few weeks ago, I'm up by 32. I'm playing against Larry Fitzgerald. I think I got this one. I lost. Last night, I got a game where he's got Hilton, right? I got DeMarco Murray and Delanie Walker. I'm down by 10, and I win.
Yeah, that's how it happens.
Well, the thing was, last week I was saying how Jacoby Brissett has, like, saved T.Y. Hilton's season.
Yeah.
And then last night happened. But, hey, that's going to happen in football, fantasy football. I mean, I lost. Last night I was up, like, 14 points going into the game in the Super. My opponent had Marlon Mack and Rasheed Matthews. I lost by half a point.
You know what's interesting? Roto World pointed it out this morning. Credit to them, though, because I hadn't really thought about it in a while. Even with Andrew Luck in there, T.Y. Hilton's home road splits are stark, and especially this season, he's played well at home and not on the road.
That's kind of interesting, but like, as a fantasy owner, what can you do with that? Because you can't just bench T.Y. Hilton on the road.
You can't.
So what do you do?
You hope for the best.
Exactly. That's all you can do.
Literally,
because
that's
what you do when you set a fantasy football lineup anyway. It's like, I always tell people, it was like, oh, I should have done this or that. Look, you set your best, most informed lineup that you possibly can, but once kickoff starts, everything is out of your control.
But that ultimately, you know, yes, it's out of your control, but everyone here, you know, Corey, Scotty, Maddie, everyone's saying, we got to buy T.Y. I'm not saying one bad game is going to turn you off from that, certainly with Andrew Luck on the way back, if you think it's going to pick up. But Scott thought it was picking up a trend, whether Andrew Luck was here or not, that T.Y. Hilton is successfully better at home than on the road. And that's something that, I know, as a fantasy owner, I'm
still going to buy. Okay. I'm still, like, last night in my home league, We have three quarterbacks. We have Watson, Dak, and Cam. We put an offer prior to the game of Cam for T.Y. Hilton. Of course, we have Emmanuel Sanders, Golden Tate, Stephon Diggs. Our only healthy receiver is Keenan Allen. So I'm trying to get something done there. And if I got to increase the package, I'll try and do that. But I'm going to get the guy.
Yeah, I try to increase his package, too. Hasn't worked. Yeah. Wow.
You came back more immature than before.
That pump is in his bag?
Yeah, that pump.
Funny if I say maturity, Scott. Mr. Sussman,
don't start telling.
What?
Don't start telling Mr. Sussman
everything.
You did
that last week. You're such a hypocrite. Right. It's like you make an immature comment, but I make ones like, okay. Oh, maturity.
Let's move along.
Yeah. All right. So T.Y. Hilton finishes with 1-for-19. Dante Moncrief, who you started in a couple places.
I started him in a couple places.
You would have been pissed. You would have been pissed.
I heard I saw a blurb where he dropped like 18 or something.
Yeah. The first drive, they threw it to him in the end zone, and the broadcaster was saying they should have caught it. But I think Brissett threw it a little bit high.
He's got to catch that.
I don't, if he leaps a little bit more, he can catch it, but it was thrown a little bit high.
I think you're making excuses, Scott.
Well, I don't know, Dante Moncrief. Corey's complaining, not me.
I'm not complaining. I'm just saying. I'm satisfied with the output that you got. This was the guy people were saying, oh, don't put him in your lineup. I'm like, nah, I think this is a good one right here.
Yeah.
Going up against that secondary. So, yeah, sure, why not? He should have got the touchdown pass. I was happy with the production that I got from a guy basically in leagues with my second flex. So, I can roll with that.
No, I last night you did have to play him against that secondary. Yeah. I mean, especially with bye weeks and stuff.
Yep.
But it just could have been so much better.
I wish it was.
So you had Monkey do that. Jackie Doyle, 7-for-50 and a touchdown. The tight end carousel rolled around for Jack Doyle.
He's got about. What did Gruden say? He's got the yips. He seems to be putting the ball on the ground.
Sure.
He can't hold on to it. But yeah, he's coming back. That was his first game back. I'm always like a little hesitant when guys go in concussion protocol and stuff like that. I mean, you saw it with Travis Kelce. I didn't want to really play him in leagues that I owned him. And I know in like one or two at least, we had Kelce and Austin Seferian Jenkins. And credit to the fantasy exec. I know he rolled out the two tight ends in a couple of leagues.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, Austin Seferian Jenkins, I wanted to put him. I really didn't want Kelce to start, so I just put him in. And we didn't put him in. And he scored like 17, 18 points. I probably should have had like 25.
Yeah. No, that's the thing. I think ASJ is a tight end. Especially if you like got him off the wire, you got like a Delanie Walker or a whatever, or somebody, I don't know, Jimmy Graham, whoever, you know what I mean? Whatever tight end is doing their thing outside of him right now. And the PPR, he's flexible. You can pop him in your flex. If you got some injury concerns or something like that going down, you can get him in there. He's a big part of that offense. He's playing well. He got robbed of a touchdown on Sunday. Austin Seferian Jenkins is getting it done.
Also, I mean, Evan Ingram now every week is going to be
I was wrong. I was wrong on Evan Ingram.
He takes the L.
I was wrong.
I was
wrong. Evan Ingram
auto.
Is getting it done. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, no. Mm-hmm. Matt said, I'll take the W.
So will I.
You two those guys. Yeah.
I told you Evan Ingram was going to be the best rookie tight end.
You certainly did.
You yelled and screamed at me.
You're right. He is this season.
Yeah.
I didn't yell and scream,
man. Yes, you did.
I know I did. I don't think I did, Scott.
Yeah, hey.
Oh, that's quick. So, Jackie Doyle, like I said, he had the 7 catches. He had a bunch of yards. He scored the touchdown. And he looked good. I know he was picked up in my league this past week in order to face the Titans. We'll see what he can do going forward. Let's get to Jacoby Brissett here for a moment. Throws a touchdown, threw for 200 yards, ran 15 yards. Scott, a lot of people used him as a streamer, and it just did not work out as you would have hoped.
I used him as a streamer, and I was able to win in both leagues. He got me like I think about 18.1 points in the NFFC, where I won my fourth straight. So he didn't hurt you.
No, he didn't hurt you. When you picked him up, you hoped for a little bit more. I mean, because no interceptions,
18 points. You know. I'm fine with that.
Okay, fair enough. We'll come back. I was talking about the running game for a little bit. Matt mentioned Marlon Mack a second ago. Robert Turbin had a nasty injury. So let's talk about that, Frank Gore, as well. Sort of Experts, Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Hello, friends. If you want to win at fantasy sports, wouldn't you listen to people who have already won at fantasy sports? I'm here to tell you about DailyRoto.com. Don't be intimidated by the DraftKings and FanDuel sharks, even the fantasy draft sharks. The guys at DailyRoto.com have not only won $1 million amongst one of the writers, but they've created three others. That's four people who have won millionaire contests from this content alone. Don't be fooled by screenshots talking about $25,000 winners from other places. Go to DailyRoto.com, where they have a proven track record of creating millionaires. DailyRoto.com. Tell them Greg Sussman sent you.
You can see the frustration coming from Matt's eyes and ears in regards to Marlon Mack. Because Marlon Mack, as Matt astutely pointed out during the break, had the first carry, 18 yards, could start. That was it. That was it for Marlon Mack.
Yeah, he lost 4 yards on the next carry, and then you didn't see him.
What happened?
Frank Gore. That's what happened. Look, last night I actually didn't want Marlon Mack to go off because I was playing against him in the Super.
Okay.
So I was kind of hoping maybe one more week. But, yeah, I don't get it. You see this guy's upside. I'm not saying he's going to be a bell cow type back. But you got to get him, you know, you got to get him close to like 10 carries at least. Or they did try to do a pass to him when they were trying to tie the game up late and Jacoby Brissett threw it over his head. That could have been something. But I'm going to look for this Colts team that's flat, that does not have Andrew Luck. I'm going to look to get this young playmaker in the mix as much as possible.
Understandably so. You want Marlon Mack to be able to make a play, to do something for you when you don't have Andrew Luck on this field. You didn't give him a chance to on Monday night, and that's even after losing Robert Turbin to a badly dislocated elbow.
You got hurt yourself real bad.
Yeah, Turbin actually happened later in the game. He got to play. They were going committee for a while.
I understand it happened later in the game, but they were still in comeback mode after that. Right? I mean, they were still trying to come back. And to me, when you're trying to come back, you put an explosive player out there like Marlon Mack, and they just didn't do it.
I don't disagree with you. For some reason, they went committee. Gore started, then it went to Mack. Mack lost the 4 yards after he gained the 18. You never saw him again. Then it was a combination of Gore and Turbin. They went total old school. You know, they've been using Turbin here and there on some third downs.
Yeah, they have, and he's been their goal line back and whatnot. And with this injury, I have to think it opens up even more for Marlon Mack going forward because he's now the next guy up. You have Matt Jones off. He was inactive last night. He'll become the third running back while Turbin is out. Although it was a nasty dislocated elbow.
That's why you can never believe coach speak, Greg, because they're telling you Marlon Mack's going to get more carries, et cetera. You know, the coaches rarely are very forthcoming. You know, if a guy's going to get more carries, why are they going to broadcast it? They'll just do it.
Yeah, and also, you know, it's Chuck Pagano. So he's up there with Ben McAdoo as, you know, the
people
worst.
People that's going to lose their job.
Yeah. People that are just terrible at coaching.
Yeah.
Like, my favorite tweet last week was when Chuck Pagano came out earlier in the week and said Marlon Mack isn't ready for more carries or something like that.
Yeah.
Or expanded role or to be an every week running back. And they were like, Chuck Pagano's not ready to be an everyday coach.
Sure.
But that's the thing. The thing about Mack is you have to be careful with Mack going forward because Mack is one of these Chris Thompson-type players. You put him in your lineup, and this was a very good matchup for him. You put him in your lineup, but you have to understand those touches are not going to be consistent. It's not going to be no more than 9 to 11 carries a game, and he has to get in space. You cannot run him between the tackles. He has to hit the perimeter. If he hits the perimeter, he's going to break off one of those long runs. If he does not, he's like a zero.
So I don't agree.
I don't think he's like Chris Thompson.
Why
either,
not?
Because he doesn't catch passes like that.
But what I'm saying,
than Chris Thompson.
But he does not run between the tackles.
He can.
I don't think he can. That's not his game. His game is getting on the perimeter.
He ripped off an 18-yard run between the tackles last night.
Okay, so he ripped off one run, and then what they do? They ain't play him no more.
But that's not his fault.
But he's got to get. Like a bell cow back. 100%.
He's not like Chris Thompson.
He's got to get to the perimeter. All his action is going to come on the outside.
So
you can't trust him in the starting lineup every week. I would have played him this week, but he's not going to be this guy that's going to be touching the ball 15, 18 times a game. It's not his game.
Timeshare guy, you're saying.
It's not his game.
Well, here's my Marlon Mack analysis, just to be real quick on this. I've stated that, look, I'm looking at this guy as a second-half guy that can really pop. Is he going to be a bell cow on this team? Absolutely not. But you don't need to be a bell cow in the NFL. You just need touches. And if he can get double-digit touches every week going forward at some point, maybe the next week or two, I think they need to do this. And if that's the case, then he's startable.
Yeah, there are a lot of guys in the NFL, and Chris Thompson was actually one of them, to come back to that, where he'd say, it's not how many touches you get, it's some of these guys make the most of every touch.
I just don't agree when it comes to Marlon Mack. I don't think he's Chris Thompson. I think, as Scott and Matt mentioned, he can run between the tackles, right? We've seen him be a bell cow out at South Florida. And although Chuck Pagano's an idiot, he's only played, what, four games in the NFL?
Can he be a bell cow in the NFL just because he was in college? I don't think he can write that
in. What conference is South Florida in?
They would be in the Big East.
So you mean to tell me because he can run between the tackles in the Big East, he can run between the tackles in the NFL? It's not the damn SEC or the ACC or one of the power conferences.
I understand that. I do. But or maybe it's not the
Big East.
Yeah, no, it's like the
ACC.
I don't know what
running against Temple.
Is it the Temple
stout front eight?
If this guy gets the reps, I mean, gets the touches, that's what it's all about now. And look, there are very few Le'Veon Bells and, you know, guys that are going to dominate that back. Ty Montgomery was getting over 90%.
It's the American East now, by the way.
Yeah, I was going to say American something, but you don't need to get touched the ball 30 times. Look, you want your back to touch it 30 times.
Yeah.
But, you know, if he gets 10 to 15 touches a game, we saw what he did, you know, we see what he does. He has that play, he has that upside ability where he can take it to the house. Is it going to happen every week? Absolutely not. But this isn't a guy that you were banking on, but this is a guy for the second half that could possibly pop or could be a nice boost to your team.
I think that when Rob Kelly went down, right, Jay Gruden immediately said, listen, I can't give Chris Thompson the ball a billion times a game. He's going to wear out. He had injury issues in the past. We need to keep him healthy. This is the way to make him most effective. And, you know, this past week, he did give him 16 carries and plus a bunch of receptions out of the backfield. But Samaje Perine was supposed to be the guy. If Frank Gore went down, you guys don't think Marlon Mack would be the one that would get a whole lot of carries?
I think it would be the lead running back, yes.
Yeah, no.
But that's different than Chris Thompson.
You know, they're different players. I mean, Chris Thompson is that pass catching back. Look, he's had a couple of big runs this season, but he's going to make his living and give you the fantasy goodness by catching passes.
He's what, in terms of workload, but not style, he's like Theo Riddick, but I think he run better than Theo Riddick, and I think he's more explosive than Theo Riddick, Chris Thompson.
They're similar. I see what you're saying. Yeah. The similarity. So I see that similarity more than the one with Mack at this point, by the way.
But okay. Mack is a big play guy. That's his MO. He's going to get in space, and he's going to break you 18, 25, 30-yard runs. He's not that similar to what Chris Thompson does.
Is he Alex Collins?
I don't know too much about Alex Collins. Alex Collins is a bum to me.
No, he's been playing really well.
He has been playing really well. He looked
Alex, Alex Collins is a guy that rips off 20-yard runs.
How often?
Oh, pretty often.
Alex Collins is playing well.
Yes.
He actually is. But he's, you know, the knock on him is fumbling the ball and stuff. And he's eaten into what I thought would be a Buck Allen game.
Alex Collins was a leading rusher.
He had 7.4 points in the PPO.
He looked good.
He's never had more than 10 points in the PPO all season.
No, but his carries
are
starting
to get more involved. Whenever he carries the ball, he rips off big runs.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
He's not playing. He's not on the field that much either.
He was
every time he touches the ball, it's like 20, 30 yards.
All right, cool. So then, that's Marlon Mack, the same thing.
That's very, very different than Chris Thompson.
When I mentioned Chris, I'm talking about players that are not going to touch the football much, but what is in their hands, they're going to make things happen.
Fair enough. There we go. I'm with you on that. Let me go to the other side then, with Tennessee, and ask you if Derrick Henry fits that mold as well. Derrick Henry last night, we had talked a lot over the last Thursday, Friday-ish, in regard to Derrick Henry and what we do with him. And, you know, people said, listen, Derrick Henry's just not getting the usage that we expected. He is, a very, very strong handcuff to DeMarco Murray. But that's it. You can't play him in the flexes you thought maybe you'd be able to do Corey coming in this year. It hasn't happened. Well, on Monday night, it did. 19 carries, 131 yards. Yes, 72 of those came at the run at the end of the game for the touchdown. So he would have had 18 for 50. But you don't take it away. I understand. finishes 19 carries, which is 7 more than DeMarco Murray. Does have 131 yards, a touchdown. DeMarco Murray also gets into the end zone. He had 12 carries for 40 yards. Murray also chipped in 4 passes, or 4 receptions, rather, for 47 yards, while Derrick Henry had 1 for 14.
What was the spread in last night's game? Anybody know?
Oh yeah, that was it. They were saying on television
that they were
saying
play.
That when he had that touchdown run that he covered though. But with Derrick Henry, he had 19 carries. DeMarco Murray had 12. Even the broadcasters were talking about DeMarco Murray did have a touchdown run and he did catch some passes, but he does not look 100%. Again, you talk about not taking anything away. DeMarco Murray did have a 75-yard touchdown run, but outside of that this season, he has not looked like himself. And you wonder, you know, there were some good physical runs, but he's not 100%.
The spread was 7.5.
Yeah, so I mean, and I have to watch this again. I really do. Because, I mean, they review everything, and they didn't review that, so it's kind of odd.
Crazy. That's crazy. Okay, so moving past the spread, Derrick Henry here going forward, Matt.
It's tough. I mean, it's and tough DeMarco to start him. You know, right now it's tough. I mean, I did a trade last night. My GST league is just trash, so I had to change things up. I traded DeMarco Murray, Michael Thomas, and Drew Brees for Kareem Hunt, Terrell Pryor, and James White. I still have Derrick Henry. I offered to put Henry in the deal, but I wanted like Tevin Coleman instead of James White or something like that. But
you decided not to include that part of it.
All right, so here's the thing with Derrick Henry. You can't. I mean, you're on a bye week. You got injury problems, you know, situations like that, game time decision, whatever the case may be. You understand what we have to go through on Sunday as fantasy football owners. If that's the case where you have to in a 12-team league, mm-hmm. Okay, and as your flex, cross your fingers. You feel what I'm saying? In a 10-team league, don't even think about it. Is it going to be weeks where he's on your bench with 20-something fantasy points? Yes, it very well could happen. But more likely than not, you put him in your starting lineup, he's going to have 7 carries for 38 yards.
The workflow is not dependable, as Corey points to. But, hey, you got a bye week. You got to stick somebody in there. We're in the thick of bye weeks right now. You have to consider it depending on who he's matched up against.
Okay, so then what does it do to DeMarco Murray then? Anything for him?
I think DeMarco Murray's not 100%, and it's a timeshare.
Okay. And that's not good for us as fantasy owners then. All right. Let's talk about the receiving game for Tennessee. I think there's a little bit to take out of here. I got to ask a question to these guys at this table. Stick around. It's the Roto Experts on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Ezekiel Elliott, Carl Anthony Towns, Corey Seager. Those are the rookies of the year, much like the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. The fastest growing fantasy sports network on radio is completely free, 24/7. Listen to us live at fntsy.com/radio or download the app right now in the Google Play Store or on iTunes.
So Marcus Mariota last night, from what I saw, didn't leave the pocket. He didn't look healthy, and he kind of just, especially early on, he really looked slow. Now I think things picked up as the game went on. I felt a little more confident on that hamstring. Still didn't move, right? Like, if the defense was converging on him, he just threw it from where he was. But he got the job done. Big win for the Titans on Monday night. Mariota winds up throwing for 300 yards, a touchdown, and an interception. The touchdown goes to Tywan Taylor. First touchdown of his career.
Congratulations.
Exactly.
Right. I wonder if they gave him the ball.
He caught the ball. So
that was some terrible busted coverage.
Yeah. Oh. He caught it. Did he have to give it back to the referee, or did he take it to the sideline with him? Because it'd be nice. If you can go to Steiner Sports, get a nice frame for it, you know what I'm saying? It'd be his first NFL touchdown. His mother will be very proud.
There you go.
But look, Mariota did a good job in the first half of taking what the defense gave him.
I think he did a bad job in the first half, personally.
I don't think so. There was a lot of throws in it there, and I think his decision-making was sound, and then he opened it up a little bit more in the second half. I think it was a solid performance, you know, all things considered with his health.
Okay, so fair enough. What I was interested in was Eric Decker last night, guys.
What the hell was that?
7 catches, 88 yards on 9 targets.
Where did that come from?
That's what I'm asking you.
I have no clue. This dude has been, for the most part, a zero the entire season. Then last night, out of nowhere, like, I was going up against two teams where they had Eric Decker in their lineup, and I was like, oh, he's a donut. He wasn't a damn donut. He beat me, as a matter of fact, in a couple leagues last night. What the hell, Eric? Is he healthy now? Is that what it is?
He certainly looked it last night. They put him in the slot. He was running good routes. He was keeping the defensive backs off balance. And every time, that was talking about Mariota, every time he was open, he hit him. Mariota was taking what the defense gave him. Rishard Matthews wasn't open. He was going to Decker. He was spreading the ball around effectively. That's what you expected from Decker if he was healthy. You never know. Decker could go back in the tank, you know, next week and be like 2 for 18 or something like that, or 1 for 7. But I think you have some confidence in, when you're talking about bye weeks and you guys got guys like Emmanuel Sanders and Golden Tate injured, you might have to take a flyer.
Yeah, I think right now, look, it was encouraging if you have him on your bench for the most part. He really hasn't done this whole Tennessee passing game. I mean, the guy you probably really want is Delanie Walker, and he was targeted in the end zone, but did not get the touchdown. And even him, I think he had, what, 4 catches for like 37 yards or something like that.
His yardage numbers have been really down. If I want one guy in this passing game, I want Rishard Matthews.
The week before, he had a touchdown called back, too. So, I mean, Mariota's still looking for him. I mean, that's just the thing. Or even when Mariota's not there, he's a friend to Matt Castle. I'm hoping that at some point we can get Corey Davis back on the field, and we can see what this kid could do, and maybe open up this offense.
So, would you pick up Eric Decker?
I mean, look, if he's out there and I need a receiver, I would do it. I mean, if he was out there in the GST, I'd be bidding on him right now.
Yeah, I just said it. You know, with the bye weeks, some of the injuries, you should take a crack. Now, if he lays an egg again next week, you can cut him. But he did look healthy last night.
I agree. And Eric Decker was never somebody I really wanted, but I'm kind of intrigued now.
Look, I am too. One of my leagues, I just traded to get Julio Jones and Emmanuel Sanders. Now Emmanuel Sanders is not going to play this week.
No,
he
had a pitching core.
You know, and I don't know when he's going to play again. Oh, I may need an Eric Decker type.
I have Demaryius Thomas on 3 teams, so that's good. I mean, not good, but, you know, it's not bad
for me. Especially after what he did this week, yeah.
I hope he feels better, Mr. Sanders.
Just in a few
weeks. About a month.
I will say one thing. I mean, losing by a half point in the Super was kind of heartbreaking. But in another league, I needed like 4 point something from Ryan Succop. And to see him get that field goal like right away, like I got like 4... And just get that over with.
Life was
that
easy.
That was kind of nice.
Look, sometimes kickers save your week. It's realistic. And Succop with Castle in there, you can't depend on him. When Mariota's in there, Succop is one of the best kickers in fantasy football. If you don't have Jake Elliott, I'd like to have Ryan Succop because Justin Tucker's not a thing this year.
There you go. This team is so terrible. I'm just looking at this team, and it is so damn bad. I mean, Scott, you said the wide receiver you want to own still in Tennessee is Rishard Matthews. 4 for 69 last night, caught all 4 of his targets. He's been, from my estimation, he's just been so solid all year long.
Yeah, he's the same guy he was last year. You'll get the occasional touchdowns. To Matt's point, Delanie Walker could have caught a touchdown last night, but was got a little bit of an overthrow. He's still looking for him. But Rishard Matthews is Mariota's preferred chain mover for the last 2 years. And this passing game is going to improve if Eric Decker is healthy. That'll help Matthews face more single coverages.
I think Matthews is a good player, and he does get targeted a lot. But he had, 4 targets, 4 catches last night.
I would worry about this team's passing game because I think Marcus Mariota is probably going to be in and out of the lineup for the rest of the season.
Yeah, his inability to stay healthy is now a thing.
That's real, yeah.
It's certainly become a thing. And like I said, last night, if that's any indication, like, this offense is going to be different because he can't move. Like, I was watching highlights just a few moments ago, and there were times where DeMarcus Mariota, when healthy, would have rolled right out of the coverage, would have rolled right out of the pressure and been able to do something. And he couldn't. He just had to stand there. And I think that's a lot of the reason Eric Decker was successful last night.
Yeah, when you look at a mobile quarterback, you know, you like having him throw on the run, et cetera. You remember when Russell Wilson last year wasn't healthy and he was just throwing from the pocket. It hindered him in a lot of his starts. So it's realistic with Mariota, too.
And look, for as bad as it was for Mario, like in that first half and stuff, as you said correctly, he was not playing at optimal health. But he still threw for 300 yards.
Yeah, he made good. Yeah. The decision-making was there.
I agree, and that's where they started him over Matt Cassel. Now, the Titans have, I believe, one more game next week. It's against the Browns, and that is it before their bye. So they can get out of that one, get Mariota healthy. They're primed for a really good second half, I would
think. The Browns have played the run very well. That's okay. One thing I will say, because you would think maybe they're going to go in with the thought process of let's try and ease it up for Mariota before the bye, keep him healthy. But that's just one thing I wanted to throw out. The Browns have been surprisingly stout versus the run.
So, surprisingly stout versus the run. They don't know who they're going to start at quarterback this week.
I mean, why the hell isn't Cody Kessler getting a chance?
I don't know.
I don't get. It's not like this kid was like an undrafted free agent that came in. We saw some. I'm not saying Cody Kessler is good, but we've seen the other options there. So why not at least give him a chance?
I have no idea.
And
it's funny because Hugh Jackson was talking up yesterday. He's just like,
he needs to shut up.
Okay.
Not you, Greg. Hugh Jackson needs to shut up. Shut his damn mouth. All right?
Sure.
You know what he did to me? You know what he did to me, Hugh Jackson?
Dude,
with
Johnson?
He did.
And Isaiah Crowell.
He's done this to me in back-to-back years now.
Yeah.
He needs to win football games and shut his damn mouth.
And you need to stop drafting Browns.
It's not about me, Greg. It's not about me, Mr. Sussman. Sorry.
No problem.
I didn't mean to call a teacher by his first name. The rest of the class don't know his real name.
There'll be apples coming up in the next hour.
Yeah. Corey, is it Gregory?
Yeah, I'll tell you later.
It's crazy because he's like, DeShone Kizer learned so much this week by standing on the sidelines. I'm just like, Hugh, what are you talking
about?
We all learned a lot by standing on the sidelines.
But not
for nothing. DeShone Kizer needed to step back. They needed to pull this kid out.
But not just for one game.
Well, yeah, no, he should stay out another game. I mean, look, Kevin Hogan at least deserved a shot after, you know, coming in, put the guy in. It was horrific. I mean, it really was bad. So now, you know what? Throw Cody Kessler in there for a game just to see if this guy can move the ball, maybe get somewhat of a semblance of a passing game. And if not, you can always go back to Kizer. And the other thing is, stop passing up on quarterbacks every year. You know, stop passing up on Carson Wentz. You could add him. You traded away the pick for DeShone Watson. So it's on them. I mean, it really is.
What I want to know, and someone brought this up yesterday, that, like, all right, I don't know if it might have been you, Matt, that, like, was saying that Hugh Jackson doesn't make the call. Or make the calls, like, someone, the general managers and the president of football operations, like, they have to be taking the task for not being able to get the quarterback right. But like,
oh, if I was Hugh Jackson, I'd be in the press conference saying that. I'd be like,
it depends on the organization. Some coaches have a big say.
I agree, but like,
others
I'm
don't.
Thinking Hugh's probably in that room. The Kaiser's the quarterback I want. Kessler's the quarterback I want.
You would think so, being that that's what he's supposed to be.
Correct.
Like this quarterback whispered his offensive guru. Let him go get this quarterback. So if Kaiser was his guy and he went and got Kaiser and he made him the starter since almost day one, since the kid walked in there, then his ass needs to go.
The only reason I said maybe not because they brought in a new front office. It's very sabermetrics-like.
Sure.
And they have the belief, they've been on record saying it, that the only way that they can pretty much be competitive is stockpiling all these draft picks and all that. But the problem is, their trade, instead of getting quarterbacks, I mean, even if you had Pat Mahomes, you'd feel good. You know, you see this kid, what he can just do on the run and how strong that arm is. I mean, I don't know.
This whole sabermetric thing, it's not baseball. Just draft the best player.
They've made a lot of mistakes on guys they passed up.
So I don't want to say that it's not baseball, best player. Because that's how they said in baseball before they started using sabermetrics, right? That's what they said in basketball before they started using sabermetrics. Oh, it's just basketball, but you draft the best player. It doesn't work like that. There is method behind this madness.
I do think it is, but I think it's less applicable in football
Why?
Than it is in baseball.
Why?
I think football is more about what drives the numbers. I think you put a bigger emphasis on scouting in football.
But that's just, people say the same thing.
I'm not saying it's worthless. Baseball is a bigger numbers game than football.
I don't know about that. I don't know if I agree. All right, we'll take a break. We will come back with our final Week 6 thoughts. We're going to turn that page and head to Week 7 here on the Roto Experts.
Have you ever wanted to have a fantasy expert in the palm of your hand? Or better yet, in the pocket of your khakis? Well, check it out. Now you can. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Download it now to your phone. We promise no weird viruses, no strange tracking things. Just 24 hours a day, 7 days a week of pure fantasy knowledge dropping all over your head. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Stop being a weirdo and streaming it online. Get it on your phone. Take it with you everywhere you go.
Roto Experts, sponsored by DX Racer. Guys, Week 6 officially closed. I want to turn the book. I want to open that new book for Week number 7. Before we do that, I want your final thoughts on this week. Matt, we'll start with you.
Final thoughts. Look, the Colts had a really good chance to win that game, and without Andrew Luck, they could have been tied for first place. But, I mean, pretty much the overall view of this week is there's no dominant team in the NFL. There's a lot of... parity is king right now. There's some good teams, but there's nobody I feel confident week in and week out saying that they're the best.
You could roster an all-star team of the injured guys right now, Beckham, Rodgers, Dalvin Cook, etc. And every week, people are not fielding the lineup that they want because of the injuries and the bye weeks. But, this is where you really prove that you are in a playoff spot. In weeks like this, you're going to start guys like Taylor Gabriel. You're going to start guys like Nelson Aguilar, and you want them to get through. Just take it one week at a time and, be willing to mine on the waiver wire, and you'll be okay.
Corey?
I don't really know, Greg, to be honest with you. I had a bye. But,
In all honesty, this is the NFL. The players get injured, stars, and that's why it's called the not-for-long league.
Well, here's one thing I will say. The NFC is wide open now.
The NFC is
wide open.
I think the whole league is wide open.
You're right. The AFC is wide open. New England is not a dominant team.
I don't feel the Patriots really, that touchdown that got robbed from ASJ, that really changed that game. Because the Jets were in that game.
Every team has a question mark. Like, you look at Pittsburgh, okay, they're playing good defense. But, where's Roethlisberger's head at? Can you really anoint the Philadelphia Eagles as the best team in the NFC after 6 weeks? Things are breaking their way, but can they play good pass defense when it counts? The Eagles may look like the best team, but that could change. Can Carson Wentz come up in a big spot in the playoffs and deliver? We don't know that yet.
That's something that obviously remains to be seen. I think you guys are all right that this NFL season has every team wide open.
Everybody wants to look for, and the way they rate things is who looks perfect on paper. And it's not that way. It's like in the playoffs, like you've seen it. We talk about it like the Niners have lost 6 games by 3 points. It's like there's so thin a margin forever. Anything can happen in the playoffs. With the Patriots not having a defense, they're not perfect. It's about who gets hot during the postseason, who has the breaks, who can stay healthy, et cetera. There's a lot of factors.
I'll say this. If the Vikings can, if it's Case Keenum or if it winds up being Teddy Bridgewater in a few weeks, if they can solve that quarterback situation, they might have overall, in my opinion, possibly the team that can do it. The team that can go to the playoffs. You got a guy like Xavier Rhodes that can shut number ones down. Jerick McKinnon, in his last 2 games, really, somebody put a stat up. Dalvin Cook's previous 2 games, he had like 200 and almost 50 yards total offense. Jerick McKinnon had the same thing. They were right there. McKinnon looks electric. If Diggs comes back, you got him and Dillon, so you got two top receivers. You still got a good tight end, and that defense is very good.
Yeah, but the problem is like Case Keenum or Teddy Bridgewater in a playoff atmosphere, especially if they're like in the second round. Like, can you really rely on them to take them deep there? They're almost a complete team.
If Sam Bradford was healthy, those guys can be competent enough. I think they can. I think they can beat pretty much anybody in the NFC.
I don't think with Case Keenum at quarterback that team's going in a conference championship game.
I think they can beat the Seahawks.
Yep. Probably not. Seahawks have a better quarterback.
But worst.
Who won the game they played this year? They haven't played. I got them mixed up.
We take a break. We come back. This is the headlines from Week 7 early in the week. We'll get you ready. Waiver wires coming up as well. It's Roto Experts, sponsored by The Answer.